Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has given us new birth through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead into a living hope that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. Amen. The word of God that is the basis for our meditation this morning is taken from John's Gospel, chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I'm going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved therefore said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, about 100 yards off. But when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place, with fish laid out on it, and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. These are the words. In the name of Jesus the Christ, who would have us leave all and follow him, fellow redeemed in his most precious blood. Fishing can be like hockey. Wait, let me explain. In my experience, fishing can sometimes be rather routine, whether you're fishing on a stream or on a lake. What I mean is you toss your worm and bobber out into the water and wait. Or you cast your lure away from the boat and slowly retrieve it. Doesn't happen right away. Sometimes you wait a long time before the bobber starts to bob and bounce and then goes under the water. Sometimes you cast 20 or 30 times, and you get no hit, nada, nothing. And then all of a sudden, boom, fish on. Hockey can be the same way. Sometimes it's a lot of skating and passing, moving, trading zone time. And whole periods can go by without a single chance, without a single goal. And then suddenly, boom, goal. There had been lots of excitement for Jesus' disciples recently. They followed him to Jerusalem. They ate the Passover with him. They retired to Gethsemane to pray as they had throughout Holy Week. And then suddenly Judas came with soldiers and took Jesus into custody. He was crucified the next morning, buried by late afternoon. The disciples went into hiding, thinking that the same thing could happen to them. And then on the third day, everything changed. Jesus arose from death. He appeared to the women, to Mary Magdalene, to Peter, to the Emmaus disciples, and then to 10 of the 11 disciples all in one day. Boom! He lives! Jesus appeared to them again a week later. And then it seems to have gone quiet. Some of the disciples went home from Jerusalem. Peter and Andrew, James and John, Thomas and Nathanael returned to Galilee. But they must have kept in touch. They expected that Jesus had more instruction for them. And he did. During the Sundays after Easter, we have in our series collected a number of things left behind. We began with a large stone that was rolled away from the door of the tomb. We found the linen cloths right where they had been, but without the body of Jesus. We found the face cloth folded up by itself, like someone no longer had need of it. And then we found an uneaten meal. We conclude our series this morning with what Simon Peter left behind. Friends and fishes for Jesus. God help us that if we are ever called upon to do the same, we cinch up our belts and plunge into the sea. As always, we seek the blessing of God the Holy Spirit and pray, sanctify us by your truth, O Lord, your word is truth. Amen. I've lived a number of places in my life. Michigan, Wisconsin, Texas, South Dakota. But when I moved away from Marquette, I missed the Big Lake. I missed Superior. I'm not sure when I first began to long for the lake again. I think it was probably in high school or college in Wisconsin, where there are no big lakes, or at least not where I was. When my children played on the beach in Corpus Christi, Texas, I missed this lake. When I spent time at Lake Kempeska and Lake Pelican in South Dakota, I compared their waters to the waters of this lake. No comparison. Simon Peter had been following Jesus for 3 years, and I would guess that from time to time he missed his lake, too. The Lake of Galilee, also called the Lake of Gennesaret and the Sea of Tiberias. He was a fisherman by trade, you see, along with his brother Andrew. They had partners in their endeavor, James and John, the sons of a man named Zebedee. Peter was a fisherman when his brother Andrew, who had been following John the Baptist, introduced him to Jesus of Nazareth. But the two brothers went back to fishing. Until one day, Jesus came for them. The Gospel of Luke relates how it all happened. It was early in Jesus' ministry, and the multitudes were already following him to hear his word. And one day, a crowd followed Jesus to the shore of Peter's lake. Peter and his brother, along with James and John, had spent the night before fishing without any luck. You know, we call it fishing, not catching. Sometimes even professional fishermen with nets come up empty. It happens. It was a quiet morning, interrupted by the murmur of a large crowd, until Jesus climbed into Peter's boat, asked him to push off a little from the land, and he began to teach the people right there from Peter's boat. Peter and Andrew, James and John must have also heard and listened. When Jesus finished, he turned to Peter, who was repairing his net, and he said, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Peter balked at first. They'd been fishing all night long. But he did as Jesus suggested. And they suddenly caught so many fish that their net was breaking. They signaled James and John to come and help, and they started shoveling the fish into their boats until both boats were full of fish and they were starting to sink. Isn't that the way it is with the Lord, right? He doesn't just provide a little bit. He provides for us in abundance, more than we could possibly use sometimes. So often when we try to do things ourselves, we come up empty. But suddenly, out of the blue, the Lord blesses us beyond what we expect. He always equips us to carry out the tasks that he gives us. On that day, Simon Peter recognized that this was not the result of his skills as a fisherman. He fell at Jesus' feet and he said, "Depart from me, For I am a sinful man, O Lord. It was true, after all. And it's true of everyone here, sitting in pews on padded seats. We too are sinful people. But Jesus had not left him. No, he had not. Instead, he smiled and said to Peter, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And as crazy as that sounds, that's exactly what they went on to do. They brought their boats to land, they left their nets, they left their jobs behind, and they followed Jesus. They did it for 3 years. They watched him work miracles. They watched him raise the dead. They watched him shine forth in glory on the Mountain of Transfiguration. They watched him die. And they watched him and saw him alive again. Simon Peter had come full circle. And one day, the lake called for Peter again. He was with his old partners and his new friends. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Some things never change, right? They were still on the water in the early morning as the sun began to rise when they noticed a single figure standing on the shore. They didn't recognize him. Hey, it was early morning, just getting light. They were a good 100 yards off the shore. He was friendly at first. He asked if they had had any luck. They said no. Then he made a suggestion. "Cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." Now I can tell you how I would have responded, maybe not out loud, but in my heart. If someone said that to me, I would probably say, "Hardy har har, good one." There's always someone who figures that they know how to do your job better than you do. But they didn't respond like I might have, with sarcasm. They did what he asked. What would hurt? One last try. You know, that's how it is with fishing. One more cast. And then they couldn't move the net. Was it caught on the bottom? Nope. It was just too heavy. They couldn't even haul it into the boat because it was so heavy. And it was deja vu all over again. John turned to Peter and said, "It is the Lord." And then Simon Peter put on his cloak and threw himself into the lake. It was Jesus. It's not like he hadn't seen him before. He had countless times. But it was different after the resurrection. All of Peter's doubts and fears were gone. Jesus really was the Messiah of God. And for a second time in his life, Simon Peter left something behind. What? Well, not his cloak that he wrapped around his waist. Peter left behind his friends. As he had on one other occasion, when Jesus bid him to walk to him out on the water. He left behind his friends and his fish, focused on Jesus. He would take his marching orders from Jesus from that day forward until the day that they crucified him upside down. Simon Peter left his friends for Jesus. On this occasion, I admit, it was a brief separation, but it showed where Peter's heart was first and foremost. It was with Jesus. The time may come when you and I are faced with a situation just like this. If friends and acquaintances turn away from Jesus and depart from him, if they stop listening to his word or deny him, we may be forced to decide whether we follow them or follow him. God give us the focus of Peter to cinch up our belts and plunge into the sea. For you see, Jesus doesn't only want this 1 hour time slot in your lives from 9:30 to 10:30. He wants to be your number one every day, every hour. The first person you call in sickness, the first person you thank when blessed, the first person you see when you awaken in your mind, and the last person you think of when you close your eyes in sleep. Jesus wants to be your number one. Jesus himself said, "Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." And many are those who turn away from Jesus for this reason or for that. God grant you the strength to cinch up your belt and jump into the sea. But Simon Peter didn't only leave his friends behind. He left his occupation. As a fisherman, nobody knew better than Peter what was the value of 153 large fish. That was a payday. But he didn't think twice about leaving them behind. He wasn't concerned about the fish getting away. For him, Jesus was the most important thing. And the time may come when you also face a choice. Take a well-paying job in a place where there isn't a church, or settle for fewer dollars. It's really a matter of asking, what's my soul worth? A bigger house and a second car, is that worth sacrificing spiritual food? We count the cost and everything else. I think I'll take the store brand. It'll save me 10 cents. Shouldn't we also count the cost of our faith? Is the most valuable thing that I possess something that can be bought with gold or silver, with dollars and cents? Or does it come to me free of charge from the word of my God? You know, Jesus answered that question for Martha once. "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her." Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior, grant that I may always count you my dearest treasure and strive to stay close to you every day, so that when my last hour comes, I may leave friends and fishes to look upon your face on account of your sacrificial death and glorious resurrection. Amen. And the peace of God, which far surpasses our human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.